And we're back on this Tuesday morning, August the 6th, 2019, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the early show here on WWGH Radio. Quick programming note, don't forget tomorrow morning, 8:10 to 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by Gary Burbank, legendary radio host on WLW out of Cincinnati, Ohio, the creator, the writer, and the voice of Earl Pitts, who is very famous here in Marion, to be sure. I know a lot of people who think Earl Pitts is a real person, and tomorrow we'll learn where Gary came up with that, how he still writes for that, and all the other characters that he created. He had a tremendous run in Cincinnati radio on WLW in the afternoon. Gary Burbank tomorrow, 8:10 to 9 p.m. on this show. Joined this hour by Fran Vall, longtime Marion resident. Fran, as far as Bowling Green College goes, I know you're heavily involved there. How are things at Bowling Green?
Well, not so much anymore because I, having served 9 years as trustee at the board, at BG, I am no longer on that board. And I don't get up there quite as much, although I do serve on a couple of committees, and I'll be going up next weekend, I believe it is, for a couple of days. But things are good. Enrollment's good. And that's the key ingredient these days, is to make sure you have enough enrollment.
What is it about Bowling Green that has always been of great appeal for people in Marion and other cities around the state?
I think one of the things that Bowling Green is has done a very good job of, it's basically for a long time been first generation college students. A lot of the folks didn't go to college, and they were hardworking people in our northwestern part of the state of Ohio, basically the northwest Ohio, over in Cleveland certainly too. But I think that that has been an immense ingredient in Bowling Green's success, has been that adaptation to college from a lot of the Mansfields and Marions and the Limas and Finleys and whatever for these young people.
What do you make of more and more people going to college now? Do you think it's a must?
Well, I think it's a must. That's my opinion. I think any training that you can get under your belt is certainly worth the time and effort. And unfortunately, the money, for which is a tough thing in a lot of situations. But you got to be trained, Scott, and the jobs are not out there unless you're trained.
What do you make, and this is a great thing for Marion, of the great movements in robotics?
Well, I think it's wonderful. I think there's a lot of good reasons to go to Columbus State or to a community college and work in some of these type of engineering type of jobs and so on and so forth. There's work out there, and gosh, I think it's the way of the future, and you know, the production lines and so on and so forth are not going to be the same as you know and I know. That's all going to be very, very mechanicalized as far as your ingredients of education and what you can offer.
Do you remember about 25 years ago, there was this push made that it's no longer if you go to college, it's you must, because the factory jobs are not going to be there. And it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen.
But the factory jobs, I think, have changed to some extent.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about that. I think you have to have some kind of background in mathematics and like you say, robotics and so on and so forth. Those have changed. The idea of maybe putting one little part on an apparatus is probably mechanicalized now. It's not going to be done by maybe a human at this point in time. So the next step is, where are you? I mean, what can you offer that position or that company?
What do you think lessons Marion learned from the power shovel and the Tecumseh days to now? We do have a lot of plants. We certainly have Whirlpool. We certainly have USY. We certainly have Sika. We have factories now in Marion, Anderson Windows. So there are factories here that weren't here in those days. What do you think changed? What lessons were learned from the problems that went on at Tecumseh and the power shovel?
Well, I think probably what the products were coming out of those businesses was became more and more commonplace throughout other countries. you know, one time Marion Power Shovel pretty much, I'm certain, had monopoly on the on that type of a road grader or a power shovel or whatever it was, along with Galleon and some of these other ones. But now there's other companies that do those kind of things, and the competition all of a sudden became different. It became much more down another direction than what would have been going on. Maybe they were caught not ready for that. I don't know.
Are you of the mind, because there is a mindset by a lot of people that we should not remember things like the power shovel because the ending was not great?
I don't know. I can't really remember. I remember as a young kid growing up in Marion that it was my grandfather worked at the Huber shop for 50 years, lived on Mark Street. My mother was raised on Mark. My father was raised on George Street here in Marion. It was a different way of life in those days. Walked to work, walked home, took your lunch bucket with you. That's not quite the same. You know, you look at Nucor Steel. I mean, that's a different process than what the poor steel companies were doing or had to do, I'm sure, that have gone out of business in Youngstown, those kind of places.
You know, that's an interesting aspect because a lot of time we do spend a great deal of time talking about downtown and areas like that, commercial areas, but Marion still has neighborhoods. We have areas like Mark Street, like George Street, yep. There are neighborhoods on the east end of town. Fair Park's one big neighborhood. What do you make of those areas today?
Well, I think the neighborhoods are very important. If they can feed off one another and makes the improvements that are needed and certainly that are necessary for it to be a vibrant area. I don't know what goes into that in total. It's probably people leaving that didn't used to happen, and I think that changes the dynamics of that, don't you think, Scott?
I would say, and I. But you know, one of the things that interests me, I know Fair Park just had their big block party. Mm-hmm. Now that's a fairly new innovation.
It's great
over in Fair Park, and if you drive through some of these communities, I'm thinking Mark Street in particular. You know, I see people in the summer walking down to the Mega Moo, the grocery store, down to get a pizza at Genova's. So they do still exist, those areas.
And you can tell by the houses and the people that have lived there for a long time and how well they keep their places up and so on and so forth. I guess we all wish that everybody would follow the leader in a lot of those neighborhoods.
You know, and a lot of people, this is one of the great things about time, I think, and medicine, is that people are living longer. And that, what part does the senior community, 70 and above, play in all this?
Well, I don't know if they play a big part as much anymore. Scott, you have people, no matter what business they're in or what job they have, they're going off to by the wayside at certain ages. You know, maybe not 60 or 55 anymore, maybe it is 65, but the whole thing's been turned over to another generation, and those people that are seniors have the Senior Citizen Center that we have here in Marion, certainly out of Pleasant and all these other places, and their roles become much different.
What do you make, because so much is made now of politics, and I think one of the reasons for that is news. You know, national politics is on the news all the time. What do you make of the local political scene?
Well, I think it's good to have a local political scene. I think it's certainly good for the community. We want everybody to do the best job they can do, whether they're the mayor or a council person or whoever they might be. I think always a lot of work to do, always a lot of work to get done. It's not a glamorous thing when they find out that they're on these jobs. There's an awful lot of work that has to take place and to make those tax dollars stretch from the national scene right down into the state and the city.
At one point, you thought about getting involved in politics. Why did that not happen?
I guess I probably was a do it, got involved maybe in some other things, Scott. I thought about it, but you know, I had to mesh together with some other things that I was doing.
As we head into the elections this fall, is there anybody you feel strongly about that should be put back in office or that should come into office?
Well, you know, I think everybody has to stand on their own 2 feet, and I think as electorate people like myself, we need to make sure that we analyze and look at what is the best for our situations and so forth. And I hope everybody's vetted well, and we get the best people possible.
One of the most interesting things is that we have seen drop-offs in areas like sports, young sports, with kids getting involved, and a lot of people blame that on technology. But I believe this is right. More people are voting now than have ever before. So it's kind of fascinating.
And that's true. And even in sports, Scott, they talk about the numbers maybe doing different sports and so on and so forth. We also have a lot of ladies, young ladies that are involved in sports. You got a lot of young ladies that are involved in politics and so on. So it's kind of a new direction out there that's going and taking place.
It is. What do you make of the movement with the women as we approach the 100th anniversary?
I think there's some very good ones out there. I think on the national scene, I'd like to see maybe even some more. Whether it be Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. I think a lot of them have their heart in the right place, and I think we would all agree that we have a few people that probably could become retired, and maybe their jobs filled with very capable young men and young women that want to roll up their sleeves.
When you were growing up, how did you and your family look at the people who were in office? I think it's different now for people.
Well, I think, you know, when you were a mayor of Marion, that was a huge job, huge position, and they were looked upon as being a very special person. And I would like to think it's somewhat still that way. I'm not sure the job's any easier. I would assume with all the federal restrictions and so on and so forth, these jobs have gotten certainly much, much more difficult. But everybody knows what's going on now, as opposed to maybe back in the 50s or whatever, that, you know, what was going on maybe behind closed doors. Today, it's up front and center. And what they're doing is definitely known by the public.
We're chatting with Fran Vall here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. We're going to step out here for news and weather for about 3 minutes. And then we're going to finish this morning with Fran talking about his career and what he's done throughout his life and a few more interesting topics. Remember, you can stream this program live on the internet at WWGH1071.com or by downloading the free TuneIn app. It's absolutely free on any mobile device, and you can listen to us anywhere in the world. That's a great thing. Remember, coming up later today, the Adam the Computer Guy show at 2 p.m., Voice of the People with Linda Sims at 4, and the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker at 5. All today, all live on WWGH Radio. Coming back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Hi, gang, it's Gallagher. Do you know what time it is? No, you don't. That's why you need me to tell you. It's time for the WWGH News. What is that? It's news about people, news about places and their plans. And what? It's live from the WWGH News Center. I'm Gallagher, but I told you that.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center. On July 29th, the Court of Appeals in the 3rd District unanimously found in favor of the state of Ohio by affirming the jury's decision in the cases of Paul McKenzie Jr. and Andrew Flagg. Paul McKenzie was indicted for breaking and entering and theft. On May 17th, 2017, McKenzie broke a rear window of a hair salon in Marion and stole money from the hair salon. The case proceeded to a jury trial where he was convicted of breaking and entering. He was sentenced to serve 11 months in prison. He appealed the breaking and entering charge on the grounds of insufficient evidence. The Court of Appeals ruled in favor of the state, finding there was enough evidence for the conviction.
Andrew Flagg was indicted for two counts of forgery. On January 14, 2018, Flagg presented a counterfeit $100 bill as payment at a mini-mart in Marion. On January 18, 2018, he presented a counterfeit $100 bill at an Amish store in Hardin County. The case proceeded to a jury trial where he was convicted on both forgery counts. He was sentenced to serve 12 months of community control on each count. He appealed both counts, alleging the photo lineup that was administered was improper and violated his constitutional rights. The Court of Appeals ruled in favor of the trial court's decision that the photo lineup was not unduly suggestive and did not violate Flagg's constitutional right.
For the Marion, Ohio Weather Team, I'm Zach Fuller. Showers and thunderstorms likely today. I'll have your latest forecast coming up in your Weather Minute from the Marion, Ohio News Network. Did you know on this day in 1890, thunderstorms left 4 inches of hail covering the ground in Ader County and Union County in Iowa? The hail drifted into 6-foot mounds and in some places remained on the ground for 26 days. Now you know with Marion, Ohio Weather and the Marion, Ohio News Network. From the Marion, Ohio Weather Center, this is your Weather Minute on WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion and online at WWGH1071.com. Tuesday in the Marion area, we'll see a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly after 2 p.m., increasing clouds a high near 86 degrees. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms mainly after 2 a.m., patchy fog between midnight and 1 a.m., a low near 65 degrees. For your Wednesday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny though, a high near 83 degrees. For your Thursday, another 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m., but overall mostly sunny, a high near 84 degrees. And to round out the work week, we'll see mostly sunny skies on Friday, a high near 79. Get the latest conditions and more on our website at weather43302.com. For the Marion, Ohio News Network, I'm Zach Fuller on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion, and online at WWGH1071.com.
We're back here on this Tuesday morning, 34 minutes past the hour in the home stretch of the early show this morning. Fran Ball is the guest. Fran, I wanted to take this time and kind of talk about your growing up in Marion. Where were you born and what was the early stages like?
Well, I was born and raised on Lafayette Street between Bradford and Vine Streets. It was a neighborhood, and we had the nice things with some green space that that was available to us around the new Harding High School then, and Indian Mounds and all that kind of thing. We had a great I had a great youth time of my life, and my mother and father were workers. My dad was a tailor. His father was a tailor. His father's father was a tailor way back in Germany, and all these kind of things. And that's what my father did, and my mother was a bookkeeper, and they had three of us, and I think we all did pretty well.
When you were growing up, what did you want to be?
Well, I love sports, you know, and I loved to be around, you know, the high school scene and so on and so forth. It was always an exciting time for me when Harding had a football game on Friday night, or, you know, we were playing basketball in the backyard or throwing the football and all that kind of thing. So I thought, well, I'd like to maybe go into business, and I did major in that in college, but also at the same time thought, I always kind of thought maybe I wanted to be a teacher. My sister was first grade teacher, 30-some years at Pearl Street, and so I tried it and never left it.
What When you look back at teaching, what was the most rewarding part about it?
Well, I think just seeing kids grow up and how well they would progress through school. And it was really fun for me and for any teacher that's out there. And they're getting excited about going back to school. And I understand all the excitement that goes with that. But how well these people progress as young adults and go into whatever they're going into. And it's always good to see them do good things.
Coming from a family of teachers, what makes a good teacher?
I think one that has empathy for the young person that cares and the kids know they care. I don't care if you're a coach or you're a teacher; it's all the same thing. Maybe it's that way in every job. I would think it would be to a certain extent, depending upon what you do. But you have to fire up the kid, and they have to understand that you're interested in them. That way, they're going to be interested in you, and they want to return that favor by doing well in school. And that's what teachers have to keep in mind. There's no fence between a teacher and a student.
What do you make of all the changes that have happened in education, much like the Trekkas and the online schools and just all the different ways now that people can learn?
Oh, I think it's great. I think that people have a lot of different opportunities, different choices maybe that would best suit their needs. I've learned a lot about the digital academy type schools and how well that they've served a group of folks out there that may not have been able to be served quite that well in a brick and mortar place. I still like a brick and mortar school. I still care about the activities and the interrelationships the kids have. But I think every one of those schools out there have a certain dimension and a certain ingredient that would be what some kids would want.
How did you see the student change over your years in education?
I'm not sure they have. I think they've gotten smarter. They're more alert, instant messaging and so on and so forth. They know what's going on, and they know it at a younger age. And I think if there's a concern that I have sometimes is the kids might be growing up too fast.
What do you think is causing that?
Well, it's all the things that are going into what I just mentioned with everything that's taking place, and I wonder sometimes what's going on out there, how much it might affect the kids, or how they need to be children, they need to do children things, and they can't be robbed of that. That's very, very important. Because if they are, it could cause some problems down the road.
Do you think parents changed over time?
I don't know about that for sure. I've got three sons that are wonderful fathers, and their spouses are wonderful mothers and wonderful kids. And I think it's a different way of doing it today. It obviously is. From when I was young, there's no question, but you still got to have that interaction between mother, father, and child, and it's got to be a strong interaction.
One of the things that has been, just when I was in school, which wasn't all that long ago, elementary and middle and high school, a lot of the teachers, primarily most of my teachers were female, I remember, being sure. Here in Marion, and also they were... I want to say older. They were more toward the end of their career than the beginning of their career. That's not so much the case anymore when you walk into any school in Marion County.
Yeah. My concern also to go along with that, Scott, is are we going to have enough teachers down the road? I mean, the business-type jobs are paying pretty good money, and teachers are asked to do more and more. And so on and so forth with a lot of responsibilities that I'm not sure would this turn some people off from wanting to be teachers? All my grandchildren, I don't know if any of them are going to be a teacher, and I've got like four of them in college right now. I had all nuns until I got to the high school level. And then I think it was Max Ross or somebody in those days. But, I think there's a lot of wonderful teachers out there, certainly, that work hard. I watch my sister as a first grade teacher in Marion City. And I worked, saw how hard she had to work and her friends, how hard they worked. And I'm sure the same thing goes on today. It's an exciting time. You have to be a certain person to want to deal with children.
You know, there are a lot of people who are not in that profession who say, you know, teachers are off every weekend. The school day ends at 3 o'clock, off every holiday, off in the summer. From somebody who was a teacher, what's the real story behind that?
Well, first of all, you got to make sure you stay up on your education. It's mandatory anymore to get a master's, and maybe even further than that. And that's your summer, and you're going to be probably taking classes in the summer for several years after you get out of college. It's just going to happen. It does happen. You know, CEUs and all these things that the state demands and requires. There's a lot of work to be done at home. There's a lot of individual attention that some of these kids need. You know, I don't think teachers are any more or less busy than anybody else.
It's interesting because when we have the tragedies we had over the weekend with the shootings, one of the discussions that always comes up is, what are kids subjected to? What are kids subjected to on television, on the internet, in video games? Do you think that plays a big part?
You know, they say it doesn't as much as what people would think, from what I can understand. I do think there's too many things available and with ease, whether it be guns or what. I suppose that could even apply certainly to drugs and a lot of things, but it's all there, and decisions that are made are very tough decisions, and decisions that I wouldn't have had to make at a young age.
Something fascinating happened last week on this station. Charlie Evers had his granddaughter on and was just having a conversation with her on one of the shows. It was over the air last Friday, and I believe she's in middle school, and she was talking about bullying. And Charlie said, well, how does the bullying take place? And she said, online.
Yeah, see, I'm sure.
I
get it. I mean, it's like having a person with you all the time when you pick that phone up or that computer. You know, that's just instant messaging. It's really made a difference in those kind of things. I don't know if we had as much of that or not when I was young. We probably certainly did and had some, if not, I don't know as much. I'm not sure. But maybe it wasn't called that. It might have been called harassment or whatever. I didn't really pay much attention to the word bullying until later on in my education life.
Well, it's interesting because if you go back and look at a lot of movies and cartoons, even newspapers, if they had to deal with school in any way, there is usually always a bully character. You know, Bluto with Popeye, there's a bully. Mm-hmm. There's somebody who is not a nice person. Mm-hmm. Bullying doesn't seem to take that form and fashion anymore because of social media. You can never reveal your name and say something awful about somebody, there it is.
That's got to be tough. It's got to be tough psychologically for a lot of people that would have to deal with that. I guess I can't imagine.
It's just a very difficult thing to imagine what people are going through. And do you think kids are growing up quicker now because of things like that? And all the other things we've talked about.
Well, I think so. They're smarter and they're quicker. And, you know, they may not have the penmanship that we had. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that, as we talked about earlier, with just type it out or send a text or whatever. Why would you write a letter? Just send a text. Well, I'm an old guy. I still write letters and cards and so on and so forth. And my grandkids, you know, they get checks every once in a while. I'm not sure they know what to do with them, but, you know, I think they need to learn all those kind of things.
Do you think the personability of life, some of the things you just mentioned, do you think they'll be there even though they aren't as strong as they once were?
Well, it'll be that or different variations of it. I don't think there's any question. I was talking to a banker just this morning, and Don Stone. I was talking to Don from the United Bank, and And, you know, he said kids don't have to go to the bank. Some of them don't want to go to the bank. They don't have, you know, there's no reason to go, you know. And that's different from my background. You drove in the drive-through, or you went to the branch, or you went downtown or somewhere. But, you know, take a picture of your check and do everything from the house. This is what a lot of the kids are doing. This is what they expect.
You know, I was shocked last year, and I don't know why I never picked up on this, but at Christmas time, I was going around, and I all of a sudden noticed, does anybody have a Christmas club anymore?
We do. Uh-huh. But my wife is still a believer that you got to have a Christmas club. Yeah. I don't know how many are out there, but we've had one for years because of the family and so on and so forth, and making it not too much of a drastic problem when you get to that time of year, you know? I don't know what other people do, but I don't think it's quite like it once was, where you got the books. Remember, you got
the little books. Yep.
I remember having a quarter Christmas club, quarter a week.
And it added up. You did okay.
I think I got $25 or something, or maybe it was 50 cents and got $25. Well, you know, that wasn't too bad in those days.
When we look into the future, nobody can predict the future, but where do you think, if we can stay on the current track we're on, Marion will be in 10 years?
Well, I think we're going to be here. And that, to me, is the bottom line. Where are we going to be? We're going to be here. And this is where we are. And we have to make the best of it. And the key ingredient is, as we were talking, Scott, that we got to get as many people involved in this mix and bring everything together the best we can, no matter if you're on west side, east side, north side, south side, doesn't matter. Everybody's got to come in the mix. They all got to be part of what's going on in the community.
Do you think maybe education in the schools are the way to do this? Because most everybody's got somebody in the schools.
Well, the schools are a good handle for it, and it's a good platform for a lot of these kind of things to take place. And the schools have that responsibility maybe more now, too, than ever, of being involved community-wise and not just shutting their doors at 3 o'clock and whatever. Everybody's doing their thing, and a lot of community overflows into the schools, you know, whether they like it or not. It happens.
I was so surprised last year. I went to a couple Harding football games, and it was so neat to see fireworks being shot off when they win.
Sure.
How have you seen local sports change over the years?
Well, it concerns me that a couple things. You got to support them. You got to go to the games. If you can't get there, make sure you belong to your local booster club or give the kids an opportunity to participate. It's the best thing in the world for kids to be able to participate. I don't care what sport it is, but, you know, make sure that your school has what it needs to have a good, well-rounded, well-balanced program for all the young boys and girls in the schools. And secondly, let the coaches coach and let the teachers teach and let the kids play.
What do you think has happened to service groups as the years have gone by?
Well, you know, our Rotary Club here in town is still good size, and I know some of the other ones are not. There's a lot of things you can say that about. You know, what happened to the Y-Men's? It's a smaller group than it was way back when. What happened to JCs? I don't even know if the JCs even exist anymore. And when I was young, everybody that was 30 years or 35 years and under were members of the JCs, because that was your community backbone of doing a lot of things in any community, not just Marion, but any place. And, participation's huge, and I know that there's a lot of good reasons that maybe people want to be home, they want to be with their children. I think that's fine. But if you can blend it all in, it certainly makes a difference, because a lot of things and a lot of people need help from some of those service groups that have gotten help in the past years.
You know, this really is the first generation right now that has never lived without a cell phone, never lived without internet. What do you see in 20 years being the big differences as they get to be close to retirement age, as opposed to the people who are there now?
Well, I don't think we ever will lose our need to be in contact with other humans. I mean, no matter what they put in front of us mechanically, We still have to have that interaction with our club or with our groups or families and so on and so forth. I don't think that that is ever going to change. I just can't see it. But it's certainly done differently to this day and age when you've got a serviceman in Afghanistan able to talk with them every day. You know what I mean? And it's pretty amazing when you stop and think about everything that's going on.
How important to everybody's life do you think the family unit is?
Well, I think it's very important. I think we suffer if we don't have a family unit. We suffer if our family units are broken down. No question about that. Now, we have some exceptional single people that are raising their children, and they do a wonderful job. But certainly the family unit is so important. I think we need all those people involved to make that child hopefully better. But, you know, we still see moms being able to do the whole thing and dads being able to do the whole thing. And God love them, because that's a big responsibility. It's probably a whole lot better and easier if you had the unit.
When you look at your life, because so many people face obstacles, what do you think was the biggest obstacle you had to face?
I think you have to learn to stand your own 2 feet. I think that that's the biggest thing you need to learn as you grow up. You need to be accountable. You need to be doing things for you as an individual, and making sure that you improve and that you get better and that you're a good citizen and so on and so forth. But I think it's a self-discipline thing that you have to learn. Unfortunately, some people don't learn that self-discipline like they should, and maybe they don't even learn it to the point that they need to learn it. But that's a big, big thing, and being accountable. Got to be accountable.
Do you think we're a forgiving society for people who make mistakes?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. I think that's one of the best gifts that we have, as certainly as our society, and I would think that that's throughout the world, that everybody's entitled to make a mistake. Don't make it the second time, though.
Right. Do you think, what do you think leads to mistakes in most cases? Bad judgment,
bad decisions, pressure from other places, other people. Getting back to that accountability, getting back to that being able to stand your own 2 feet.
To come out of something like that, what is advice you would give to somebody who's made a mistake but now wants to get back involved?
Give them a chance. And certainly I would love to see whoever that might be have an opportunity to get back on track. Because we're going to make mistakes. People are going to make mistakes. They're not going to make the best decisions at all times. That happens. It's maybe poor decisions and maybe honestly poor decisions. But everybody needs a chance, Scott, to get back. And that person that does those things that offends somebody or that hurts somebody or whatever they might have done, they have to understand they have to be accountable.
You know, we had somebody from the Columbus Suicide Prevention Network on about a year ago, and suicide is up in every state except one, and I think it's Nevada, where it hasn't gone up for whatever reason, and there it's just stayed the same.
I just really have a hard time with that. I don't know how things can be where you take your own life.
Yeah, that's.
I just don't understand that.
It has to be an awful thing that you're going through.
And boy, if there's somebody out there that's having difficulties, they've got to reach out. Somebody's got to help somebody.
You know, I've always wondered, do people, like you just said, do they feel too isolated?
I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. I don't think there's any question about it. Somebody's not paying attention to somebody.
Well, I you know, every time this happens, and of course we have had suicides in Marion, mm-hmm. and what I always hear is I hear people say, I never thought that would happen. I never thought they would do that. I didn't see it coming. Maybe we have a call here. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Scott. My husband and I won tickets the other day to Zambezi Bay, and we were wondering, what your hours were going to be for pickup.
We'll be here today till 1 o'clock, and then we'll also be here today from 4 to 6.
Okay. All right. We have doctor's appointments. We'll be in town. We'll pick them up later.
Sounds good.
This is Linda Ned Adkins, so we'll be there to pick them up later today.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Zumbezi Bay, great place to go.
Great place. Kids love it.
Well, it's just, you know, it's a serious subject, I think, the suicide subject, because I've never heard anybody say, I saw it coming.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's the tough thing is, when does that person that is contemplating that make a decision that they have to reach out for help? And if they don't reach out, who would know? And no, you didn't see it coming. That's correct. You didn't see it coming. There was no indications. And they have to help. Look for help. It's out there.
So at this point, how do you see the rest of your life playing out? What do you still want to do?
Well, I just want to do my things where I'm satisfied and doing what needs to be done and happy with things around me. And, I'm fortunate to have a wonderful wife, and I'd like to see the grandkids continue on and get better, and the young people that we have that are coming up the line to maybe take things and even make it better. That's the way my parents thought, your parents, Scott, that they wanted to make it better when they left. Wanted it to be better. We don't want it to be anything else, and we just have that responsibility. I have a responsibility to do what I can do the best to make my life the best I can possibly make, and I hope it's good enough.
For somebody who's starting out in life now, what advice could you give them about life in general? How to live a good life?
Well, there's ups and downs. You have to be able to prepare to handle the downs and bounce back, and you're going to get hit and knocked down, pushed and shoved, and so on and so forth. But you know, it's the people that are successful are the ones that get back up on their own two feet and move on.
How in life have you dealt with the downs?
Well, I think I've analyzed myself pretty well. I think I've analyzed the situations pretty well. And what do? You got to find out the path that you need that apparently needs to be an improvement in what has to be done.
What advice do you have for we've talked a lot about the community of Marion. What advice do you have to people listening who I think are of all ages, races, male, female, economic levels right now? What's the message to the people of Marion from you?
Well, I think to any group of people, whether it's Marion or wherever, be aware of your surroundings. Interact with one another. Neighbors, love your neighbor, and be prepared to help with the community and with what needs to be done, and be, you know, do your part, and not be a taker-wayer. That's not the word to use. Don't take away, but add to. When I coach my teams, I always told them, don't deduct, don't take away. When you come, you have to add to what we're all about. And if we have too many people not doing that, we're not going to be anything. We're not going to get any place.
I heard somebody say one time, the only way we'll survive as a society is together. I think that's probably true.
We have to be together, and you have to understand people have different thoughts and different ideas, and we have to be tolerant of one another. We are not tolerant today as we should be.
Fran, thank you so much for coming in today. The time blew right by. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you.
It's always fun to be with you, Scott.
Fran Vall here on WWGH Radio. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Stay tuned for more programming.
Okay.
It's the talk. Bob McGrath from Sesame Street. Bob.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood. In your neighborhood. Say, who are the people in your